We begin with a proclamation of the date of Easter and other movable feasts. Know, dear brethren, that as we have rejoiced at the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so by leave of God's mercy we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the second day of March will fall Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of the fast of the most sacred Lenten season. On the 17th day of April, you will celebrate with joy Easter Day, the Paschal Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 26th day of May will be the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the 5th day of June, the Feast of Pentecost. On the 19th day of June, the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. On the 27th day of November, the first Sunday of Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. We carry forward this tradition of announcing the date of Easter, bring forward from a time when calendars perhaps were not so readily available as they are today, but it has a liturgical effect of helping us to understand that the Nativity leads ultimately to Easter, and we have in view in the manifestation of Christ the whole gospel. And so it is when this Nativity was first celebrated, it was one feast, which was about the manifestation of Christ to the world. That included his birth initially in one feast, along with the visitation of the Magi as we celebrate today, and the baptism of the Jordan, the wedding feast of Cana, being made known as God made man. But then in the third century, it began to be separated. The Nativity became its own feast. And we celebrate on Christmas Day our Lord, who is hidden, not yet manifest. So these two days, these feasts of celebration, Christmas Day, and now, as we call it, Epiphany, have a different character. What was hidden, now we emphasize as being revealed. And when that happens, there is joy. Joy comes, but also trouble. And so it is. It's like when the sun becomes light at the solstice. It's hidden in the sense where it's dark and we don't notice it being light yet. But it's not until later on in January, late January, February, that we notice the light. And so when this manifestation comes to light, yes, there is both joy and there's trouble. We see the joy in our gospel passage today, for it says that when the star stopped and directed them to the place where our Lord lay, it says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And so that's to say, that's a very literal translation of the Greek. In other words, they were overjoyed when they saw where the star was. But then as it continues, they returned by another way. Why did they return by another way? Because they were warned in a dream that there was danger. And so the manifestation of our Lord, when he becomes known, always brings joy and trouble. But ultimately, as we'll see, even the trouble leads us to greater joy. And so let's consider these three things in turn. First, the joy, the trouble, then the greater joy. The joy came when the Magi, the wise men, were changed. For previously, they were the ones who were the astrologers who studied the stars. There was a science to this as well as a spirituality to this. Unlike the science of the weather and other things you might observe, these things were hard to predict. But the movement of the stars, however, you could predict. There were certain things that were the same year after year. There was a certain kind of precision to that. And so it is the heavenly bodies governed our life, the sun, the moon. And so in the ancient world, there was a tendency to worship these things. Our lives are ordered by these things. And so they attributed some nature of the divine to these celestial bodies. And so these men were wise in the sense that they were able to discern the character of creation as it was revealed above. But then here they follow a new star, one that broke into that created order. And then what did they find? That new star led them to the Logos, wisdom made flesh, the Word made flesh, the heavenly breaking into earth, and they worshiped him. This can only happen with a great change, a certain dying to themselves. They no longer had the wisdom. They were no longer the ones who possessed all the answers by being able to read the stars. No, they had to direct now their allegiance to this other one who spoke to them in new and mysterious ways. And so this dying to their old order, this dying to their old ways, leads, of course, to new life. Joy that they had at recognizing something greater than they had known before. But when this happens, there are always those who don't want to change. Those who become jealous of the joy because they don't want to die. They don't want to lay down their old ways for the new ways. And this is where there's trouble. And so essentially, this is personified in Herod in a very dramatic way. As we know, as the story goes, the reason why he wanted to ascertain in our gospel reading today where this newborn king was because he wanted to kill him, as we see resulted in ultimately the slaughtering of the innocents. So this is very dramatic, but this is the pattern that we see at all times. Always, there's just two choices. There's no fence sitting. When God is revealed, yes, he brings joy. But in order to receive that joy, you must die. The only alternative is to kill. To resist that joy, to resist that death, the only way you can do it is to kill it, to try to suppress it. What does this look like? Well, I remember hearing a coworker sharing the story of his conversion. He was in college, and there was somebody in the dorm rooms who, in the hallways of the dorm, who had a love of the Lord. He was a convert, and he had an evangelical zeal. And so my coworker said, this coworker of mine later on, he became a Christian, but he said at that time, he said, I hated him. I could not stand his joy. In fact, he said, I did everything I could to try to bother him. He didn't know where this came from. He didn't know why he hated this guy so much. But it's something spiritual. And of course, he knew later on that God was working on him, that God was working in him. And so it is, some of you have experiences like this as well. I know I had this experience to some extent, you know, wanting to, get away from people who wanted me to change my life before I came to Christ. I was not ready to lay down my life, and this was a problem, somebody calling for this kind of a change. And so we experience in our lives now, we experience those who will oppose us in this way. Or at times, if you're backsliding in some way, you may still find yourself at times opposing that greater joy, opposing that greater conversion. In some ways, you might even find yourselves wanting to kill that spark of joy when it appears in your life. But the call for us today, the call from the gospel, is like the Magi, to lay down our lives and to return by another way, to come here and receive that new conversion every time we come to the Mass. But then as we go, we follow the way of the cross, being willing to lay down our lives in order to receive that new birth. And so it is, T.S. Eliot imagined that the Magi, when they went back, experienced this themselves. They experienced new life, but as well as death. T.S. Eliot, that great 20th century poet, had his own conversion later in life, and he talks, and so he tried to poetically describe this story. Well, he didn't try to, he does so very well. And I'll read to you a selection from his poem. And this is from the perspective of the Magi. "And I would do it again, but set down, this set down, this. We were led all that way for birth or death. There was a birth, certainly. We had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard for us in the sense that they had to lay down their lives. That was not easy for them, to lay down their old ways to receive this new way." You see, he's unpacking what is not shared for us in the gospel. Yes, there's joy, but to receive that joy, that movement in our heart, that death is something that we feel before we pick up the new life. But then he talks about how they went home, imagining, "We return to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation with an alien people clutching their gods." So they were not the same. And perhaps when they went back to the old land with a new way of seeing the world, perhaps they also faced opposition there. They may have escaped Herod, but we don't know that they didn't escape the opposition in their old land with those who weren't ready to receive this death and this new life that they shared. So is the pattern of the world, and so is the pattern of the gospel as it becomes unpacked for us throughout the whole year, leading ultimately to Easter. But joy of joys, all the opposition that we encounter brings about our redemption. Because this is perhaps the greatest epiphany of all. All things serve our salvation. The killers, the Herods of the world, what did they do but bring about the cross, which ultimately brings the resurrection, the source of our new birth in the Spirit. So how does this play out for us? It plays out for us in the sense that, yes, we learn to embrace death. We die to ourselves in this world. And if you're able to acknowledge that you are no longer a citizen of this world, but a citizen of heaven, yes, then you have a new birth. And this, you prepare for your own death, but by this way, you're able to lay down your lives for others. You're able to receive a courage. Let this world go. Let everything this life has, just let it go. Because I have a new home. I have a new life. This ultimately is the source of enduring joy. And this is how we can be a gift for others. So yes, like the Magi, let us be overjoyed. As our translation says, let us rejoice exceedingly with a great joy. Not only because we have seen the new light, the new star, which trumps all the astrologies of our own past, but let us rejoice even because the opposition that we encounter will be overcome by the cross, by the Logos, by the Word made flesh, by the new wisdom, showing us that in Christ our redemption is secure.